Today we're going to wrap up Matthew chapter 7, the last part of the Sermon on the Mount. And again, a wonderful sermon Jesus is teaching here, and it's probably a collection of sermons that he taught over multiple days that the biblical writers consolidated into one sermon. And today we're going to be looking at those last verses, chapter 7, 13 to 29, for a message entitled The Heart's Choice. The Heart's Choice. Last night we looked at the first 12 verses of chapter 7 where Jesus was describing how we are to relate to others. And you heard about the no judgment zone and how we're not to be looking for specks in other people's eyes when there's a plank in our own eye, and the importance of saturating our relationships in prayer and living by the golden rule. But now Jesus is getting even more personal. He's getting more personal with these verses from chapter 7, 13 to 29. So here are these words of the Lord from Matthew, the 7th chapter, as we hear again from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Father, open our hearts now to your message today. Speak into our lives. May our heart's choice truly be Jesus Christ. May he be the foundation of our life. Anoint the words of your servant, Lord, as he speaks and all who hear, so that you are glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus is getting more personal now in this Sermon on the Mount as we talk about the heart's choice. And it all begins in the heart. In verse 13 and 14, he's strikes a contrast between the wide gate and the narrow gate. And the contrast is rather striking. The first way we want to talk about today is the wide gate that leads to destruction. And three things about the wide gate. First of all, it is the easy way. The wide gate is the easy way. It's easy to go through this gate. It's a big gate. It's easy to walk down this road. It's a wide road. This is the way of tolerance, of going with the flow. This is the way of, if it feels good, then do it. This is the way of visiting a church on Sunday and forgetting all about it Monday through the rest of the week. On the broad road, there are those who think they believe in Jesus and can believe in him, but still live a sinful life. That's the broad way, and many people are on it. It's kind of like when you're at a football game or a concert and the crowd sort of gets into it and sort of draws you in and draws you along. That's what happens to those who are on the wide road. They get drawn in by the crowd. It is the easy way. But Jesus also says it's the dangerous way. It's dangerous because it's the road that may look and feel good, but it's, and it may be even signposted heaven, but that's not where it ends up. It's the path to destruction. It's the road to hell. Jesus says, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And it is the majority way. Jesus says most people take the wide road, the wide gate. It's the way most people go. Culture and society, which shapes our values, would champion that as well. You'll hear the view of those on the wide road on TV and newspapers, in our radio, in our workplace. But there's a second way to live that Jesus talks about, and that's the narrow gate. And that road leads to life. 3 points we can make about that. First of all, it is the hard way. It is difficult. It is challenging to live on the narrow way, to make it to the narrow gate. Jesus has been teaching us to be meek and merciful and pure and influence society positively, to have a righteousness that surpasses the Pharisees, to love our enemies, to fast, to pray, to not worry, to restore others, to put God as number one in our lives. Those are hard things to do. Hard things to do. This is the way of denying ourselves and following Christ in total surrender. Example, this is the story in the Gospels of the rich young man who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, go and sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And the man who was living on the broad road couldn't do it. Walked away sad. Loved his money more than following Jesus. It's hard. It's the hard way to live because people may ridicule us. We may be opposed in many ways. But it's also the safe way. Jesus said, small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. It is hard, but it is possible. It's narrow, but you will get there. Jesus says elsewhere, I have come to give you life and give it to the full, that you may have the fullness of life, not just in eternity, but right now in this moment. Those who trust in him will never be put to shame, Jesus says. And he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. The narrow way, the way of Jesus, of course, is safe. And lastly, it is the minority way. It is the minority way. Most people today find Jesus' claims unacceptable. Most people either want to choose their own way or they want to sit on the fence. Most people won't admit that they are born rebels against God. Most people struggle to make that choice of the narrow way. It's a minority view. Not everyone will be in heaven. And so the admonition in verses 13 and 14 in our first point today is simply this, is that you and I need to choose the narrow way. Yes, it's hard. Yes, there are fewer people, but it is the way that leads to life. It is a profound choice of the heart. In verses 15 to 23, Jesus cautions about false teaching. And apparently in Jesus' day, there were a lot of false teachers. And people could be swayed by false teaching and be led astray. And Jesus cautions. He says, be on your guard. Be on your guard. And he says the answer for understanding who is a false teacher is by looking at the fruit in their lives. Look at the fruit in their lives. And so our second point today is that you and I need to become first-class fruit inspectors. You and I need to become first-class fruit inspectors so that we know when we're hearing something that is contrary to God's word, or something that isn't biblical, isn't true. It's a false teaching. Ruth can tell you this, that I hate picking produce at the store. I always pick bad produce. If I pick bananas, they are too green. If I call and say I'm at the store and she says, can you pick me up a head of lettuce? I cringe because I know it won't be the right one. And don't ask me to pick a cantaloupe or a watermelon because I never get the right one. I'm a lousy fruit picker. It all looks the same to me. But when I'm with her in the store and she's in the produce section, she knows exactly what to look for. She knows how to pick the right head of lettuce, how to pick the right melon or the right cantaloupe. She knows what she's looking for. She's an expert fruit picker. You know, we need to be the same way. We need to make sure that what you're hearing from the pulpit and what you're hearing in your small group and in your Sunday school classes is indeed the Word of God, is biblical. You need to look at the fruit in your leaders' lives and say, yes, I believe what they're saying because there is fruit in their lives. How they live their lives is evident of their faith. This is not judging, folks. This is protecting ourselves, as Jesus says, from the wolves in sheep's clothing. And there have been too many false teachers that have led astray countless souls. You know the names. Jim Jones, David Koresh, Jim Baker, Ted Haggard, the list goes on and on. Guard your hearts and your mind against false teachers. Be a first-class fruit inspector. Make sure that what you are hearing is indeed consistent with the Word of God. Verses 24 to 27, Jesus uses a story to contrast the destructive false teaching with the importance of building our lives on sound biblical truth. And it's, of course, the story of the wise builder and the foolish builder. It's a story we've all heard many times. It's a story that's been put to song and so forth. That each of these men built a house, and one built his house on rock, and the other built his house on sand. And in each instance, for each of these gentlemen, the storms came, the rains came, the winds came down. But the man who built his house on the rock, it stood. It withstood the storms. But the man who built his house on the sand, he came down, the scripture says, with a crash. The point is this: build your life on a strong foundation. Build your life on a strong foundation. Because we live in a world that is filled with storms. It's filled with trials and temptations. It's filled with difficult moments. And if you don't build your life on a firm foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, you will fall when those storms come into your life. And those storms are going to come. It's a powerful illustration of how we must build our lives on Christ, the immovable rock. We've experienced a lot of storms here lately. We've seen water rise, we've seen winds, we see what storms can do, but you know what? Storms in our personal life can be just as devastating. Just as devastating. The world offers sinking sand. Jesus Christ offers a firm foundation. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." His word gives us direction, allows us to have that firm foundation. I'm reminded in the Old Testament of the example of Job. Job was a righteous man. And did he have storms come into his life? My, oh my, he lost all his children. He lost his possessions. He was afflicted with sores. All these bad things were happening to him, but he never, never blamed God. He had a firm foundation. He stood firm and did not sin against God. Obedience is the key. Hearing the Word of God is good, but doing it builds the foundation. And a house without a foundation is bound to fall during the storm. Obedience brings spiritual stability. How about the example of Noah? Noah was a tremendously obedient person. Can you imagine building that ark for a hundred years? I think it took him to build that. And people coming by and laughing at him and mocking him and saying, "What are you doing building this thing?" And Noah just kept on going day after day, building the ark. And God honored that. When the flood came, he was able to save Noah and his family. Storms are going to come. Christian life is not storm-free living, but when our house is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it becomes storm-proof. Storms test what lies beneath the surface. Challenges reveal whether our foundation is strong or superficial. So life storms are inevitable, but ruin is not. We each have the responsibility to choose what we will build our lives on. And that leads us sort of to our final point today, and really the heart's true choice. What heart choice are we talking about today? To make Jesus Christ your heart's choice. That's our final point. Of this whole weekend, I can't think of a more profound final point to make than to make our heart's choice be Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Revelation 3:20 says that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. It's not a physical door, it's the door of our heart. And he wants us to invite him in. And it says if we open the door, notice that Jesus doesn't open the door. If we open the door and invite him in, he will come in and have a meal with us, fellowship with us. And we will have a relationship with Christ. If anyone hears my voice, he says, and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20 is the heart's choice of Jesus Christ. 50 years ago, this past May, Jesus knocked on the door of my heart. And I opened that door of my heart and I invited him in. And I prayed the prayer to allow him to be Savior, Lord of my life. I made that choice and there's never been a day of regret since. I'm all in, folks. It's just Jesus and me. Yesterday morning, before anyone got here, I was out in this tent. And I was sitting next to Jesus, just talking to my friend, spending time with Jesus. Jesus and me. I'm all in, folks. It's my heart's choice. And we're on this great adventure we call life that has taken me around the world and has brought me back home to Southern Lancaster County. I've had the honor of being a pastor for our Lord's church for over 28 years now. And I'm blessed with a wife who loves the Lord more than she loves me. And two daughters who I've baptized and are active in the church today. I've built my life on a firm foundation. My heart's choice of Jesus means everything to me. It's what gets me up in the morning and what allows me to put my head to the pillow at night, knowing that I have done my very best. I'm building my life on a firm foundation. My heart's choice is Jesus. And I hope it's your choice as well. Long before Jesus appeared on the earth, back in the days of the Israelites, finally entering the promised land, Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." That's the heart's choice. Friends, as we wrap up Fam Jam and this incredible, incredible weekend, I hope that you've chosen the narrow way, as hard as it is. I hope that you're building your life on a firm foundation, that you have chosen Jesus Christ. When he knocked upon the door of your heart, you said, "Come in, come in, forgive me, be my Savior and my Lord." It is the greatest choice we will ever make. It is the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, is to make the heart choice of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So let's make that choice and let's continue each day to follow him and build our life on the firm foundation of Jesus. As we close this morning in prayer, I just want to give you opportunity, if you would like to make that your choice today, your heart's choice, in this prayer, I'm going to invite you to simply repeat some words quietly where you are after me and allow Christ to come into your life, be your Savior and Lord. Let's make Jesus Christ our heart's choice today. To the praise of his glory, amen, so be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful weekend where we have been able to live in the Sermon on the Mount. Great teaching of Jesus. But Lord, at the heart of that Sermon on the Mount, of that great teaching, is the choice of our heart. To allow Jesus Christ to be our Savior and Lord, to hear him knocking upon the door of our heart and invite him in with prayers of confession that we are a sinner and we need Jesus as our Savior. So, Father, as we conclude our weekend here this morning, if there's someone here today who needs to make that choice, who has heard the Jesus knocking and wants to move from death to life, who wants to accept Christ as their Savior and Lord and begin building their life on a firm foundation. Father, if that's their desire today, if your Spirit is speaking to them, I pray in this moment they would honestly, right where they are, repeat these words after me. Father, I know that I am a sinner. And I know that Jesus Christ died for me. And I've heard Him knocking on the door of my heart. Today I am making the choice to open the door, confessing that I am a sinner, and asking Jesus to save me. I want to build my life on a firm foundation. The foundation of Jesus. Father, if there's one here today who prayed that prayer sincerely from their heart, Lord, I know in this moment that heaven is rejoicing and celebrating because they have moved from death to life. They have trusted Jesus Christ, the one who shed His blood at Calvary's cross, who rose again on the third day, is seated at the right hand of the Father and making intercession for them in this moment. They have accepted Him as Savior and Lord. Father, make that decision firm for them this day and build their life through faith in Christ on the firm foundation, Jesus Christ and the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.